Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
There is a lie that, dare I say, all of us believe at some time and at some level in our lives. And the lie is this, that if you really knew who I was, if you really knew what goes through my head, if you really knew my thoughts and my heart, you wouldn't love me. And this lie is called shame. And as Christians, we are very good at hiding our shame through hyperactivity and busyness, aren't we? We're always trying to prove who we are instead of believing and trusting what God says about us in His Word. Well, today we're going to talk about this lie of being unlovable. My guest is Christopher West, a best-selling author, speaker, teacher, and world-renowned expert on John Paul II's theology of the body. And this week, we get to see a personal side of Christopher with his new book. It's titled, Love is Patient, But I'm Not, Confessions of a Recovering Perfectionist. On today's episode of God, Sex, and You, we'll discuss, number one, how to accept God's grace. And number two, seeing versus becoming one who sees. Today's show is titled, The Unlovable Lie. I like how you mentioned that trying to change your wife, I'm guessing that didn't really work out so well for you in that instance, or really any instance. Tell us about how, if we don't change, Christopher, if God is using our spouse to teach us patience, and we're not listening to the Lord, and we're not listening to the Holy Spirit in not them changing, but us changing, what begins to happen there?
Well, things don't go so well. Let's just put it that way. I tell the story in the book. I tell the life-changing story in the book. This was the real turning point in my marriage. It happened in 2004, 2005. We had been married about 10 years, and I returned from a New York business trip very excited to tell my wife that I was just offered a very lucrative book deal from the biggest publishing house in the world.
Nice.
And I was so excited to tell her. I say, honey, get this. This big publishing house wants me to write this book. We're going to be able to put a little money away for the kids for college, pay off some debt. This is great. And she said, oh, yeah, tell me about it. What kind of book do they want you to write? I said, well, get this. They want me to write a book for husbands called Loving Her Rightly. Isn't that awesome? Well, my wife didn't think that was so awesome.
Mm.
And you should have seen the look on her face, Dustin, when I told her the title of that book. She was like, I was like, what, honey, what's wrong? You don't seem too excited about this. She said, honey, you and I need to talk.
Uh-oh.
And it's going to be long and it's going to be painful.
Mm.
But let me just tell you flat out, you are in no place to be writing a book for husbands called Loving Her Rightly.
Ouch.
Ouch indeed. I think maybe for the first time in 10 years of married life, I actually accepted the grace to listen to my wife. And that's actually an important way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
I accepted the grace. It's not that the grace wasn't there before. It's that I just wasn't paying attention, or I didn't want to accept that grace because I thought I knew what I was talking about, and I thought my wife basically needed to see the world the way I did. But I don't know. There was a special grace that day, and I just said, oh, goodness gracious, something is not right here. Long story short, I did not accept that book deal. I declined that. And
wow.
Instead, over the course of many weeks, I just let my wife tell me what it was like to be married to the so-called theology of the body guy for the last 10 years.
Mm.
And she was right. It was long and it was painful, and I was basically learning that my wife was married to a little boy in many ways who was stuck in a bunch of patterns of thinking and habits that I had formed as a little kid about basically lies I had believed about what makes somebody lovable or unlovable. Now let's stop right there, Dustin. And you tell me, Dustin, what's the lie right there? This idea that this is going to make you lovable or this is going to make you unlovable. What's the lie I believe?
That you're not lovable if you don't do something, I'm guessing.
Boom. It's the very idea that there are two categories of human beings, some lovable and some unlovable, is a lie. And I had believed this lie very early on in my life. And a lot of it, you know, a lot of it came from, and I get into some of these stories, a lot of it came from an older brother who was one of the cool kids. He was one of the coolest kids in the neighborhood. And I just wanted to be like my older brother. And I was often insulted by my older brother. His choice word for me was, "Christopher, you're a dork." And I kind of chuckle at it now. It kind of just seems like kid stuff. But as an adult, I've actually had to take an honest look at how that really hurt me.
Sure.
And what it did was I ended up shutting down my true heart, my true inner life, my true humanity. And I just started wearing masks to win my brother's approval. And I wanted to be just as cool as my brother was to win his approval. And I can almost remember, it's like in my bones. It's not like a specific date on a calendar, but at some point in my life, I got to the point where the insults from my older brother were so severe that I basically said, if you can't beat them, join them.
Mm.
And I kind of separated off from myself, started insulting myself and taking on this persona that was not really me to win my brother's approval. And when I started dating my wife and we were sharing pictures with one another about our childhood, and I realized pretty quickly, oh my gosh, if Wendy and I had gone to school together, she would not have been invited to my eighth grade party. She would not have been one of my friends because she was not one of the so-called cool kids.
Wow.
And how do you make yourself out to be a cool kid? Well, by labeling other kids the uncool kids. You don't listen to the right music. You don't have the right bike. You don't wear the right clothes. You're not smart enough. Whatever it is, we make these categories in our heads. And I thought I had to teach Wendy how to be just as cool as I was. And what was really going on in our marriage was Wendy was thinking, does my husband really love me?
Mm.
If he really loved me, why is he trying to shape me into something I'm not? And I know I'm not the only one out there who struggles with this. I share this story and it really, really resonates with people. We do
Absolutely.
This all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not loving. It's not. I mean, if we are really called to love as Jesus loves, that's the new commandment Jesus gives us. Then he's calling us to come to see people as he sees people. And one of the lines in the Gospels that's really been striking me lately, Dustin, I've been praying through it quite a bit, is when Jesus says, they look but do not see.
Mm.
You know, what does it mean really to see another human being as Jesus sees? And one of the first lines in the Gospel of John, out of the mouth of Jesus, it's usually translated in our English as come and see. You know, the disciples say, Jesus, where are you staying?
Yeah.
He says, come and
yeah.
see. But the more accurate translation is this, come and become one who sees.
Wow.
That's what this book is all about. Love
That's
is
powerful.
Patient, but I'm not. It's about putting on a different pair of glasses and learning how to see more clearly as Jesus sees. Come and become one who sees. That might have been a different alternative title. Come and become one who sees.
Mm. So love is patient, love is kind, and you share another story of your brother. Is it Soren? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Soren is his name, yeah.
So is that your older brother that you were just referring to?
Yes, that's my older brother, yeah.
So there's a story of he needed your help to build a fence, and
yes.
At the end of the story, something changed in you. So what happened, and then what changed in you, Christopher?
Yeah. So this was years ago, is even before I was married. My brother was going through some really hard financial times, and he took this job to build a fence for a neighbor. And he asked me if I could help him. And I said, sure, I'll help you out. And this is in Colorado. And we hit all these rocks digging these fence posts. And my brother was getting more and more and more frustrated because it was not a time and materials job. It was an estimate. And he way underestimated the cost of it. We knew every moment we were losing money. Every rock we hit, we were losing more money. Mm. And my brother desperately needed this money. And at the end of the first day on the job, we hit this rock. And we had this big drill we were using to dig these fence posts. And my brother cut his hand, and he just went into this tirade of a lifetime of anger and frustration just came out. Mm. And he ran off the job site. And I spent several hours just digging out these rocks, which would have been brutally hard labor. But something had shifted in my heart, Dustin. I saw my brother's pain, and I knew I needed to do this out of love for him. And it was brutally hard labor digging out these rocks, but sure, I did it in love. That was the shift. And what I learned was we can bear any hardship, any suffering, if we have the motive of love, and not just in some vague sense, but love for real people. Digging out these rocks, it became, I'm loving my brother. I am loving my brother, and I wanted to love my brother, and it made something that otherwise would have been really, really hard, it made it easy. And I don't know how else to say it. It was like what Jesus says, my yoke is easy. And sometimes I hear Jesus say, my yoke is easy. I'm like, what? Are you crazy? You died on a cross. That was easy. What are you talking about?
You
sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. But this is what I think it's really getting at, is when our hearts are really motivated by love, then even the most difficult things we can do with a kind of ease.
Christopher said something that I want to touch on here. He said, we can bear any hardship if we have the motive of love. And when Christopher said this, Hebrews 12 came to mind. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, and he despised the shame, and he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. See, this joy is a joy that Jesus would later have after his work was done. It's delayed gratification. It's the same joy that he had with his Father before they created the world and everything in it. And Jesus speaks of this joy in John 17, verse 4. Check it out. He says, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory that we shared before the world began. Wow. I mean, how awesome is that? I mean, Jesus is speaking of that joy that when he personally exchanged our shame for his death and resurrection. Yes, indeed, my friend, we really can bear any hardship if we have the motive of love. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he exhibits that for all of us. Well, tomorrow we'll continue our conversation with Christopher West and his new book, Love is Patient, But I'm Not, Confessions of a Recovering Perfectionist. Tomorrow, we'll define and describe what biblical love is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Thank you for listening to God, Sex, and You. And just a little FYI, starting in the middle of March, we're going to do something that we've never done before. I'm going to be hosting several online weekly groups for porn and sex addiction. I'm going to be teaching out of my new book, The Sex Spiral. So there are 4 classes to choose from. There's 2 on Monday mornings, 2 on Wednesday mornings, and each class is limited to 12 people And this is very, very affordable. So let me encourage you to jump on the website at dustindaniels.org and check it out. You know, by the way, this is the best way. Reading a book is not going to have the full impact. I've met so many people that try to read a book or go through a series, and they want to be healed just like that. And friend, I got to tell you, it doesn't work like that. This is about community. This is about engaging and learning and having this relationship with Jesus Christ. And all I'm going to do is just coach you through what God has to say about healthy sexuality. And then I'm going to teach you the 12 triggers that lead to porn addiction. And then lastly, how to exit that stuff. So once again, jump on the website, check it out, get signed up. And if you have a question about today's episode as well, you can join the conversation on the website. You can also follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart. Think about that. Blessed are the pure in heart. They're going to see God. You're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. Walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.